Hey everybody, welcome back to Ping. This is episode 57. 57 weeks of us bringing you the hottest stories about all around Microsoft campus, what people are talking about. We've got a really exciting show for you, but before, I want to make sure that everyone wished your mom a happy Mother's Day. Did you all do that? Did you do that, Paul?
Yeah, I did. I actually saw my parents in Vegas, and I prepaid my Mother's Day and Father's Day gifts because I wouldn't see them for either of those holidays.
Wow, that's sweet. I always send edible arrangements.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, delicious. They make them look like flowers, strawberries covered in chocolate, and little bananas and things.
Blush.
Yeah. Anyway, last week on the message board, someone named Mir, I believe is the pronunciation, commented that Paul, yet again, had been slacking.
Dropped
and
the ball.
Not ball dropped.
Yeah.
Gone. Not delivering you guys the SQL Server news, although I believe you're no longer on the SQL Server team.
Right. Yeah.
But you still have the news?
Of course.
So give us just a quick update of what's going on in the land of SQL Server.
Right. So there are...
R2.
Yeah, the SQL Server 2008 R2 was officially launched at PASS over in Europe. The conference was actually kind of a mixed bag with the whole volcanic eruption and everything. A lot of the folks from the States couldn't make it over to Europe to deliver keynotes. So some of my closest colleagues in SQL Server land actually had to call in at like midnight to deliver their speeches and their technical presentations.
Really?
From Texas and from Redmond. It was kind of a big debacle.
I would be so annoyed with Iceland if I had a trip planned to Europe and all of a sudden I couldn't go and had to stay in Seattle because a volcano erupted, personally.
Yeah, anyway, so SQL Server 2008 R2 officially launched. I'm sure you can go download this on MSDN and soon start buying it for general availability.
Thanks. And Paul, better next time.
Yes.
Let's start the show. All right, so I know it may seem to you like we just announced and we're touting the praises and singing the praises of IE8, but apparently...
I remember the IE8 episode.
I remember the IE8 episode as well. We won't go back there. There were some words spoken. But now it's already time to talk about IE9. You know, we started to talk about it at PBC, a little bit more at Mix, and... Now there's a test drive available for developers. Did you take the test drive?
I ran the test drive in the different browsers that are available today. So I ran it in Chrome and I ran it in IE8, but I haven't installed IE9 just yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the big thing of what they're it's always faster, more secure. Focus being focused on graphics.
Yeah, and HTML5, so that you don't need
right,
all
which
these...
is interesting because. I would think Silverlight would be the way to go.
No, I mean, I think that the world is moving toward having non-proprietary plugins.
Yeah.
So, like, when you want all these common things, like CSS, the cascading style sheets, is all about having common standards so that you can develop things once and it works in any browser and they're open standards so that no owns them. Silverlight and Flash are both proprietary plugins, so it's a mix from Microsoft. Like, Silverlight has a great development story. It's very easy for developers to create this rich content. If you as a developer want to be more productive, use something like Silverlight. If you want to bet on the future and not have all these proprietary plugins that are required to run your stuff, then maybe you should start optimizing for HTML5.
Or both.
Yeah, and I mean that's like the whole story today is like you have Flash and Silverlight. But over the next 5-10 years, when the technology matures from an open standards point of view, mm-hmm. you'll be able to use HTML5. But the thing with
Silverlight
is that we are going to continue to invest in making those tools be the best. So every time that there are open standards, we're going to continue to innovate and continue to have our own proprietary pieces because it can work. We can make that much faster. We can innovate much faster than with the open standards.
I'm frequently really blown away at some of the things that Silverlight can do, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. But for those of you out there, you can definitely we'll link to it. It's just released. You can take the test drive for IE9, and like I said, it's really developer based. If you're just a consumer who wants to see what IE9 is going to be like, this isn't going to give it to you. But for a developer, definitely there's some tests you can run that'll be interesting to you.
Yeah, it shows you like how much faster IE9 will be with their pre-compiled JavaScript options, and you can go check it out at ie.microsoft.com/test-drive.
Nice. All right, speaking of Silverlight, a new game is coming out for Xbox, and the website sort of leading up to the release is called brightfalls.com. Obviously, talking about the new game, Alan Wake, let's just stop right there. Have you heard anything about this new game?
All I know is that I've seen it in company meetings and demoed
it's
a couple times.
It's going to be huge.
I just don't understand
it. Huge. It's put out by Remedy, the guys who did Max Payne. Obviously, you're familiar with that game.
I play the Halo franchise. That's it.
Okay.
So break it down for me, G4.
I'm talking to you now. Anyway, this game has been looked forward to for a couple of years now. I've had this on my list. And it's a psychotic thriller, a third person, which I normally am not into psychotic thrillers because you know me, I can't even watch CIS. I'm so scared. And these games are scary. CSI, crime. What's CIS? Not sure. But that's anyway. I don't watch it, so
computer
how would I know?
Information systems.
I don't watch it. I don't know. I remember the original Resident Evil when the dog burst through the door. Like I've screamed. I'm still a little bit traumatized. So I'm gonna have to put aside my fears to play the game. The game looks great, but this isn't really about the game. It's about the website, and the website is all done in Silverlight. And it's really, really awesome and really slick. And one of the coolest things that I like, and there's sort of three trailers that give you the backlog
right,
for the
so
story.
There's actually going to be, I think, six full chapters.
Right, there's only three now.
And so I watched the first one, and it sounds like this is like a prequel to the actual story of Alan Wake. Like, I guess Alan Wake is a writer.
He's an author,
He's an author, and you just kind of like, as you progress through the game, it's like he's kind of like writing the novel or going through the novel or the novel's coming to life or something. It seems like an interesting concept. I am reluctant to start playing it because I'm sure I would get addicted to it. And I just don't have that type
of time. And normally I like to play multiplayer games, and this is a single-player game. So I'll be in this psychotic world all by myself with no one to help save me. But one of the coolest things...
It's like your day job.
It really is. You have no idea what it's like working with these people. One of the coolest things is, and this isn't like a spoiler or anything, but as you're watching the clips, the little mini-movie clips, which are very well produced.
Yeah.
Really good. There's a point where he hits a deer. Right, so you crash, and the player's here on the screen, but you know your monitor's here, and the crash comes on the screen, but then all the background is shattered glass as well. So there are a couple instances where you know the entire monitor is sort of reflecting what's going on in just the video player. It's really cool.
Yeah, unfortunately, when the really hot waitress delivered like this big plate full of like extra food, it didn't show like bacon on the side. I think that would have been a nice little
and maybe
bonus.
If they could incorporate scents.
Yeah.
Smells.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't love bacon?
Like that alarm clock that some guy from MIT made that makes it artificially smell like bacon every morning so that you wake up to a nice, delicious
That's
smell.
That's good. You know, my coffee machine automatically
smells like bacon?
No.
That's not
that's
how
a de-
my,
I have ice cream that tastes like bacon, which is actually really good. Let's move on.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, so Microsoft Fuse Labs has an announcement that we are releasing something called Spindex.
Wow! I feel good! That sounds like a DJ.
Yeah. Spindex.
Yeah, it's all social media. So there are a bunch of tools out there right now that do social media aggregation, where you can get a bunch of different Twitter things put into one screen.
You got TweetDeck, you got FriendFeed, a vast number of others.
All these things that I really don't use, but I signed up for like five Twitter accounts over the weekend, so...
What do you mean you signed up for five? You're following five people?
I've made five different Twitter accounts.
Now why?
We're going to leave it up to the Niners to see if they can find all of them.
Why would you do that?
I'm not going to use any of
it. That's just extra work.
I wanted to see if it would increase that little social media counter any faster if I just signed up for a bunch of worthless Twitter accounts.
You need a friend? I'll go to the movies with you or something.
Okay.
There's other things we could do besides make up fake Twitter accounts.
Iron Man 2, let's do it. Okay, anyway, Spindex actually does some kind of interesting things in this space. So one of the big benefits of Twitter that I actually find kind of interesting is I know, right? There's really nothing interesting about Twitter.
I was
getting you all excited there.
There's got to be something. Let's separate Spindex from the others.
So the interesting things about Twitter that you can get the collective knowledge of what everyone is saying into the things that are trending or spiking up at the current moment.
Absolutely.
And what Spindex will do is it'll follow all of your different friends and generate your own little trending topics.
Right.
So that way you can see...
So you can see what the collective thought process is of just your friends, not like everyone you're following.
Right. Plus, it'll take all those topics and find related articles and things on Bing, and it won't look just through Twitter and Facebook. It'll also look through something called Evernote. I don't know if you've ever heard of Evernote.
I hadn't heard about it, but I did a little research prior to the show, unlike you.
Oh, try it.
It seems like a pretty pretty useful tool.
Yeah.
I mean, Evernote, if you don't know, is a way to sort of save notes and like reminders and clippings and photographs so into some sort of folder that sorts it for you, and you can you know never lose track of anything.
Yeah,
ever again.
And it stores it all online and makes it indexable and searchable. Like for me, what I do is I have my little camera that I just take pictures of, and I use Windows Live Photo Gallery to do my own little tagging. So if I ever need to remember a person or a place or something that I've done, like I have my own little tagging system for
like
this.
Like that guy from Memento.
Yeah, I know.
You look like him too. Show the picture. Show the picture. You do look like that guy from Memento.
Sweet. Now I should get some.
So creeped out.
Now I should get 4 more tattoos to say like never trust Laura Foy.
Anyway, Spindex, it's not available yet. It's they just announced it at Web 2.0, and it's not you can't download it or use it yet, but soon.
Yeah.
I think the CTP or something is available for people who are at the conference.
Yeah, it's not publicly available yet. When it does become publicly available, we'll let you guys know about it. But I thought it was really cool because I hadn't heard of Microsoft Fuse Labs. Have you heard of the Fuse Labs?
I have heard of Fuse Labs just because I really I'm interested in follow what Lily Chang is doing. She does a lot of cool stuff with Microsoft Research, and obviously Microsoft Research does TechFest, so I'm sort of involved with it in that way. But yeah, it's awesome. It's basically an entire group dedicated to social media, social networking.
Yeah, and doing lots of short-term projects that have like immediate relevance to the community and might not necessarily be something that Microsoft generally invests in because it's not going to affect hundreds of millions of people like Windows.
Yeah.
But it's very important incubation. It's kind of like Live Labs does with all the Web
2.0 things. Yeah, we've got Live Labs, we've got Office Labs. Any of our lab groups tend to be really cool and where I should be working.
Yeah. Pretty much. So anyway, all good stuff from Microsoft.
All right, Paul. So on Channel 9, anytime anybody publishes a video to Channel 9, I get like an email saying, blah, 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 your email is ready or your video is ready to be published.
Uh-huh.
And I was just scrolling through one day and I saw
this video
entitled Perez Hilton, Queen of All Media. Web slice.
Oh,
and I'm like,
snap.
And I'm like, I didn't publish this video. I didn't even know about this. Somehow this was off my radar, and someone else from the like broader Channel 9 team, not even my core peeps, went out and shot this video at South by Southwest talking about the IE8 Perez Hilton web slice.
Well, they just,
I feel like I'm not doing my job.
They just knew how successful Ping 38 was when we talked about the Dolly Parton web slice.
That's right.
And they're like, oh man, we have to get on such hot news because developers care not only about Dolly Parton, but also about Perez Hilton.
Absolutely. I know. So it's out there, and I'm going to link to it right now. I know you guys probably weren't aware too, but that's why we're here.
Yeah.
We're here for you. So Perez Hilton, web slice, available now.
Yeah.
The world is happy.
All right. In one of our previous episodes, someone had commented that what are conferences like at Microsoft? Like when you go out and you do conferences, they are a lot of work. Let me tell you, you wake up early, you go to bed late. There's a lot of networking events, but you do get to meet a lot of cool people. So here's a recent clip from my trip to Las Vegas for MMS 2010, and let's take a look.
We are at MMS 2010 in Las Vegas. I am at a MVP and customer event.
Who do we have here?
What's up? Spike and Hammer.
Spike and
Hammer. It's easier that way.
So are you guys System Center customers, or what do you guys do?
No, we're actually, we have our own show out here in Vegas for the headliners. We'll show you a little something, all right?
Okay.
Here, I'm going to hang on to this. I'm going to act like a table here, okay?
He's a great table.
I am. My dad always said I had great legs, so that's why I'm a table.
Spike, I don't think that's what he meant by it. I think he's talking to your mom.
And why was he looking at me like that?
That is really weird. You can see in there, though, right, Paul?
Yes.
Empty, nothing in there?
Yes.
Red ball?
See the ball?
Yep.
Keep an eye on the ball, okay, Paul? This will be really easy.
You gotta pay attention.
Kind of easy to throw a camera on.
I know, boy, I sure hope we're good at this. Watch, the red ball's gonna go into the cup. You can hear it. He's shaking it around, all right? Now watch, he takes the red ball, puts it into his pocket. I don't think he bought it.
No, it was in his pocket down here.
Yeah.
I totally lied.
All right. Try that again.
Should we start again?
Start from the very beginning.
Okay.
There's a ball underneath that cup.
Ball.
We're making him smile. They can't tell if he's smiling. Now watch. The ball goes into the Hammer's hand.
No, it's not in the cup, though.
It's got to be somewhere. Probably in the pocket.
In my pocket.
Yes, there it is.
Should we start from the beginning?
We're confusing
all of them. Let me put them all back in the cup, right?
Excellent. Very good.
Here, get a tight shot of this. We don't want you to miss this. We know you're on the camera.
Right? That's right. Yeah.
We know you're on the camera. I'm going to take the ball. No. Take the ball. Throw the ball in the cup.
Pay attention.
Did you see it go in the cup? Take a look.
Are you sure you saw it? Not sure if you saw that, okay?
Did you miss it, Paul?
I might have.
Here, we'll show it to you again.
Better do it again. Yeah, that's all. An hour-long comedy and magic show. Every Wednesday through Sunday at 4 o'clock, fourqueens.com, spikeandhammer.com.
All right, Spike and
it's
Hammer.
It's a great show. It's a very good show. And I wouldn't say that just because I'm on the poster, but it helps.
Very nice. All right, well, it was a pleasure to meet you guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Paul.
I wish we could say the same about you.
That's not very
good. No, it was. Very nice meeting you. Say hi to Mom, Dad.
All right, so big shout out to Spike and Hammer for the amazing tricks that they had done.
I was going to name my children that, but I didn't have children.
Yeah. there's still time.
There's time. If
5 years ago. But all right. So shout out to Spike and Hammer.
Thank you. Everybody, that is it for this episode of Ping. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you, Paul, for bringing us that quality footage back from your trip from Las Vegas.
There is more.
I want to see the unedited R version of your trip, and hopefully we'll get that to you in weeks to come. But until then, make sure to keep commenting, because we do read and we do care. And always, hey, in the little thumb up area.
Yep.
Hey, do that.
Little action there.
Little action with the thumbs, and that's it.
Well, I'm not a crook.